Hagman Reporter. Are you in for a treat? You all know he needs no introduction. Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. That's USAWatchdog.com. Unless you've been living under a rock the last couple of years, you know exactly who he is. He's a good friend of the program. He is somebody I listen to. He's somebody we watch collectively and individually, and he's somebody we believe in. He speaks the truth, unvarnished truth, and he's here to deliver. He's agreed to spend a half hour with us this, or an hour? Oh, I love it. Okay. Wow. Okay, so his gracious gift of time is very much welcomed. We're going to turn it right over to Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. Greg, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Big bomb has dropped. If it wasn't for the terror in the UK and the from the religion of the so-called peace, religion of submission, this would even be a bigger story. This is a huge bomb with Nunez coming out and saying that the Trump administration was an incidental collection. I started my weekly news wrap-up on Friday with the phrase, somebody's lying about the spying. And, you know, I don't care what you guys said in my report. I don't care what my analysis of it. I don't care what you call it. I don't care if you want to call it wiretapping. Trump put it in quote, wiretapping. And he explained that. It was an old-time term, and just in general, spying. Sure. I don't care if you call it incidental collection. I don't care if you call it hacking. I don't care if you – I don't care what it is. I don't care what you call it. This is something that is undermining the president. And now with this Nunez revelation, and he's not saying how he's got this. I wonder if it came from information from the Justice Department, you know, and Sessions. I don't, he said not an official. People came forward with this, so I don't know if the people had the dope, the goods. This is a shocking thing. After every media came out and USA Today Weekend, Trump wiretap claim, quote, wiretap, end quote, claim debunked. Comey, no Obama wiretap. I mean, I don't know where to start with this.
Exactly.
I don't know where to start with this. Let's start Richard Burr and Republican Mark Warner. Here's what they said last week, 3/16. This is a quote. This is their joint statement. Based on the information available to us, we see no indications that Trump Tower was the subject of surveillance by any element of the U.S. government either before or after Election Day. Well, they're either lying or they're stupid. Now, you take your pick.
Or both.
That's two ranking senators from the Democrat and Republican side. There's... that Trump Tower was, there's no indication that Trump Tower was the subject of surveillance. They even say wiretap surveillance.
Right.
This is unparalleled. In Fox, I'm watching the coverage with, the former DJ John Roberts. And he is saying, well, I don't know if this is a bone they're throwing to Trump. This is a shocking, unbelievable revelation that an incoming president before inauguration, and they want to make it, it's incidental. It's
right.
Just incidental. Yeah, like, we just collected all this information on everybody, including the President of the United States, according to Nunez. It's not
just
incidental when everybody of your transition team is being recorded, and the recordings are being leaked to the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Exactly. You said it, brother. And you said it last week. Somebody is lying, and you were proven correct here today.
Let's get into a little bit about the journalism here. I would like to get into that. So people understand the journalism, okay? People have been given the idea, and falsely so, because I used to do investigative reporting, and I did it at a high level at ABC News and CNN. I mean, I know how that works. And let me tell you, when you're putting out information that can get you sued or embarrassed, and it's not just a threshold of somebody can sue you like Trump. Boy, he may sue you. Well, he's a public figure. But boy, he sure can embarrass the daylights out of you. And as an investigative reporter with me, I didn't just pop out one day and walk by the control room and tell my boss at CNN or at ABC, hey, you're going to love what I got on. Surprise! That never happened.
Okay.
And then when you have this with the New York Times, let me I just go back to this right here. The reporters were showing off. They want you to believe them. They want you to think we got it cold, busted, we got it, we killed it dead. Okay? You don't put a headline on the front page of the New York Times or the A block in the CBS Evening News or the above the fold of the Washington Post that says, and this is the New York Times, wiretap data used in inquiry of Trump aides. You know that that story on the day of the inauguration, they've had it for more than just today. Everybody in the organization, including all of the lawyers, outside counsel, inside counsel, standards, the owners of the Washington, the New York Times, everybody is looking over this material and trying to authenticate it. Everybody.
Yep.
You don't publish that story unless you are for sure, 100%. And let me tell you where your sources are not protected. Your boss at a journalism outfit.
Okay.
You don't tell your boss, it's okay, just trust me. You don't tell your lawyers, it's okay, just trust me. No, I got this. It's okay. We're going to trash the president on inauguration day. I got this. Well, tell me your source. I can't do that. You don't tell that to your boss, and you don't say that to your counsel, that your lawyer says, hey, who's your source? Oh, I got it. I can't tell you. You may not say that in the court of law if somebody's trying to pry that out of you, but you sure as hell don't say it to your bosses. And the point is this. They knew damn sure. They know the sources. They know where it came from. This wasn't a mistake. This wasn't a misspelling. This wasn't a misprint. Many people threw holy water on wiretap data used in the inquiry of Trump aides. That story was approved up and down the chain of command by everybody that you could imagine, legal standards, everybody, the owner, everybody was in on that, just like the Washington Post. So you know he was surveilled, and now it comes out on the other side, and I don't know why that this wasn't a bigger deal today. It should have been the lead story, but the terror kind of knocked it out. Then now you have Nunes going, collection, and Trump's own personal communications were intercepted. So he was talking to the Russians, too? Oh, it didn't have anything to do with the Russians.
Yeah, I couldn't believe
that.
Now
you have the Democrats beating this, oh, we have a Russian in an ongoing investigation. Thank you, James Comey. Incidentally, only 17% of the people hold him in a favorable view, according to a Harris-Harvard brand-new poll. Only 17% hold him in favorable view, but I digress. And so he couldn't man up and come out and say that since July this has been going on, and what started the investigation was Trump dancing around on a hotel room bed somewhere, peeing on it, which everybody in Washington and New York knew this was going on, and nobody would touch it because nobody believed it. And this is what started this big investigation that is still going on, according to Comey. And the headline from Comey on USA Today, Comey, no Trump wiretap. Really, you're not very forthcoming there, Mr. Comey. That doesn't really even make sense, does it? I mean, you got an ongoing investigation. You're not surveilling anybody? Really?
Yeah, how does that work? Seriously.
How does that work? And then they want us to believe that they got a FISA warrant. They asked for a FISA warrant. We're at 36,000 requests for FISA warrants. They turned down 12. That's the reporting on that. One of the turndowns is Trump. And so after that, they decided to, we weren't surveilling. No worries. It's okay. This is a huge
Greg, I got to ask you this.
Okay.
Brother, I got to ask you this. Okay, the wiretap information.
Forget the wiretap.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, that information.
Because that's
such
an antiquated term that requires a warrant. Yeah. And it is a spy. They don't require a warrant. They need to collect on everybody. And incidentally, the president, the NSA works for the president.
Okay, So was this the fruit of this surveillance spying? Was it from a FISA warrant, a Title III warrant, or no warrant?
It could have been all the above.
Okay. All right.
It could have been all the above. But the bugaboo is this. You got confidential national security information. Somebody, and there's a small universe of people, of course, President Obama did before he left was make all the sharing of data, you know, across all the lines of the intelligence agency, all open up, but still, they unmasked these people's names, including Flynn. They recorded phone calls. They had the calls transcribed. Obviously, they were surveilled. Their reports show they were surveilled. You know, people at Washington Post and the New York Times knew who the sources were. The heads up, even though they can't be compelled to testify in court. Although this is not the Pentagon Papers. This is not the Pentagon Papers. I'll get into that in a minute. So it doesn't matter where it came from. This is a huge revelation. This has never happened before I know of in American history. This is the first. That the incoming administration is being surveilled by intelligence sources of the outgoing administration before he's inaugurated. And how the folks in the Senate, Warner and Burr, Democrat and Republican, they can come out and make a joint statement based on the information available to us. We see no indications that Trump Tower was the subject of surveillance by any element of the U.S. government, either before or after Election Day. That is at the very least 100% inaccurate. And I think it's a lie because it's way too stupid for these two senators on intel committees in the Senate not to know what the hell is going on.
Amen to that.
How could they not know? That to me, Jim Sinclair of JS Mindset, Mr. Gold, has an old saying, and it's too stupid to be stupid. That's what I think.
Man, okay.
And now the Democrats are, well, Nunez should have come to us first. And, well, he went to the intelligence agencies, and then he, went to the Justice Department, and then he went to the White House. And, the president has a right to know that he's being spied on before the Democrats tried to trash him have a right to know. And then you have Schumer with this Comey. Oh, we're still under investigation. There's a cloud of an FBI investigation. Oh, my gosh. You got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. I mean, what's going on is an undermining of an incoming president by people on both sides of the aisle, the criminal crony class, I like to call them, the dark deep state, whatever you like to call them, the swamp things, these under full and total attack. Because they don't want to give up their swamp bait.
Greg, whose team is Comey playing for? We saw him this week.
Whose team is he being forced to play for is the better question.
Thank you.
That's what I think. How can he be that stupid? I mean, I look at this and go, I just got a general studies degree. I went to a state school, University of Missouri. I'm not that smart. But boy, when something strikes me as this stupid, my gosh, what's going on? What is going on?
Yeah,
I mean, we had a real story of Hillary Clinton at the State Department using multiple servers, and I brought this up the last time, and I want to bring it up again. Multiple servers to hide the fact she's taking treasonous bribes. You look no further than the Uranium One deal where 9 people gave donations, quote-unquote, to the Clinton Global Initiative. And shazam, the United States loses one-fifth of its uranium production, wait for it, to the Russians. But that's not a problem. And incidentally, this global charity fraud, according to Charles Ertel, according to former assistant FBI director James Kallstrom, who says that it was, a criminal enterprise. The criminal conspiracy is what he called it. That's what he said. Charles Ertel, who's done a lot of work on this, if I had a guest on my show, calls this Robin Hood in reverse. There's the fraud. And they're shutting this down.
Yeah, I got to tell you. Ertel and folks, tune into Greg Hunter's interview with Charles Ertel. Oh, my gosh. Huh. Great job on that, by the way.
I'll give you the cliff notes on that. You know, Hagman and Hagman and Hunter can't say, hey, Hagman and Hagman, the Triple H charity, and we collect billions of dollars, you know, for AIDS and to help people in, you know, for earthquake zones in Haiti and to help just do good around the world. And you know, Hagman and Hagman are running for president and vice president, and I'm going to be the Secretary of State. And we say, we're going to keep this charity afloat. And then election day comes, and we get toasted, blasted. We lose. And then we say, oh, we're going to shut our multi-billion-dollar global charity fraud down. Can we just say, hey, thanks, y'all, for the money? Can you do that? There are all kinds of laws about this. Why is nobody looking into this? And this was a charity involved in accepting, quote-unquote, donations, I say treasonous bribes, and a fifth of our uranium production ends up in Russian hands. That's unbelievable. And Comey, is he investigating that? I don't know, but he has to blat out in front of Congress. Well, we still have an investigation. Where are you? I can't tell you about that. Really? You've been doing this since when? You've been doing this since July, June? What? So what do you got? Well, that'd be a big nothing. I think what he got was he's got a phone call recorded with Mike Flynn, and, you know, he got Monica Crowley to step down, and he got some embarrassing comments with him on with national league with foreign leaders. You know what? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And then all the newspapers, Trump wiretap claim debunked, you know, Warner and Burr, there's no surveillance of any, from any U.S. entity. Really? That's a lie. They're killing themselves, the media, killing themselves. And now they want to spin this into, I can't believe Nunez went and told the press, he's more loyal to the president. Well, the president's the one in his administration was the ones, you know, having the data collected on him. Doesn't he get a right to know that?
Yeah, I think Adam Schiff, I don't know if you saw him today, I thought he protests too much.
And if I'm trying to verify this,
well,
I believe all
his,
the committee.
His case is, you know, at some point Comey's going to come out, and he's going to likely be forced to come out and say, we didn't find anything. Because, and if he would have found something, why was James Clapper on with Meet the Press and that other partisan weasel, whatever his name was, Meet the Press, that's what they like about him, they like, because he knows he's going to say, why was he on Meet the Press saying we don't have any evidence of that at all, none, we don't have any of that in our reports, we don't have any evidence of that at all. He was, you know, the director of National, the DNI director of National Intelligence, and he should, you know, FBI, NSA, CIA, he knows all those guys. Would he know that? And then they keep talking about this FISA warrant. What the heck with a FISA warrant? I mean, the NSA works for the president. It's a military operation. The president can ask the NSA for any recordings of anybody, anytime. And you know, Judge Napolitano, who blurted out that the British, you know, the GCHQ, the government communications headquarters, you know, they're British intelligence. You know, they're the ones that were allowed to look into the file because they have access 24/7 looking at the NSA files. And wouldn't that make the footprints of the fingerprints of the Obama administration invisible, except for the unmasking? Somebody had to make a designation to unmask. I'm sure that foreign intelligence, British, can't get whatever they want and blurt it out all over the air. I'm sure they can't blurt that out to anybody they want. That is a felony. And boy, Comey in the hearings, you heard about that. I don't know if you watched them, but Trey Gowdy saying that's isn't that illegal to give it to a reporter? Maybe okay for a reporter to publish it, but it's illegal. It's a felony, Luke. Is he working on that? I didn't hear him. I can't really tell you that. Oh, right. Yeah, like you asked about Hillary Clinton, and you're working on that. I can't really talk about that because you're not.
Well Greg, the suspect pool for crying out loud is not that big.
Not
right?
For the unmasking.
Right. For the crime. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And boy, you know, evil's going to start hating on evil, and somebody's going to look to throw somebody under the bus somewhere, and somebody's going to say, I'm not spending the next 10 years in for a foreign intelligence, you know, act for an espionage act violation. I'm not spending 10 years in prison. I'm not going to cop a felony on this. I can't vote. I can't own a firearm. I can't, I'm going to spend years, my career is over. I'm done. I'm toast. try getting a job as a former government employee as a felon. You better start taking up painting or woodworking.
Exactly.
Or, you know, basket weaving. Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to bring up.
Sure.
You know, there is everybody's going to want to compare this to the Pentagon Papers. Pentagon Papers, of course, were unmasks the Vietnam War and the awful insider information about the Vietnam War. Tens of thousands, we got 60,000 dead Americans on a wall in Washington, moving place, incidentally. This was not a personal vendetta to embarrass somebody. And this is like Nunez, and I'm going to go back here just for a minute. He didn't see any intelligence value of any of the information that was leaked or any of the surveillance. He didn't see the intelligence information, but sure is embarrassing. But back to the Pentagon Papers, this wasn't some personal embarrassment. I mean, maybe Nixon didn't like it, but this wasn't a personal, and the Vietnam War got started before Nixon. You know, it was a Johnson thing, and he didn't run again. Nixon said he ran on the thing, he's going to stop the Vietnam War, and whatever. So it really wasn't an embarrassment to Nixon. He didn't start the war. Now, you fast forward to today. You're talking about a war where tens of thousands of people were killed, and lots of treasure, lots of money spent in a war that people were protesting all over the country. We had a draft. We had a lottery. We had all that total upheaval in the country, and this ain't that. This is an embarrassment to an incoming president, an incoming administration that the New World Order doesn't like. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the deep state, the New World Order. And might I point you to Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, who just died at 101 years old. When I saw that, I went, yay. Same reaction I had when Michael Jackson died. Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I agree, by the way. I don't know, six hearts later? But go ahead.
But here is David Rockefeller's comment, because a lot of us are always, you're just conspiracy theory. Oh, deep state. There's not a group of people planning our demise and, want the population of the world to be 500,000. Even though I wrote it in stone down in Atlanta, 500 million people from 6 to 7 billion. So here's what Rockefeller said in his memoirs. And let me read you the quote. Some even believe we, Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it. If there's one thing Donald Trump is not, building a 30-foot wall, is he's not a globalist. And that's the dark powers that are against him. And the longer he can stay in, the stronger he will get.
Do I sense, Greg, that everyone, well, at least the opponents of President Trump, have they doubled down at this point? I sense that there's...
They got nothing. And now they want to not. Now they're back to the special prosecutor, with the Coney thing. And we shouldn't approve any Supreme Court judge. They're going to get him through, Gorsuch. And this last time, politically speaking, the Democrats, not very many were up for, re-election. It was the Republicans. It happens every 6 years, 33% of the Senate is up for grabs. And, 2018, the Democrats got a whole lot of people, 20-something seats, I think, in the Senate. And they're going to have to think long and hard about Duncan Gorsuch. If in Missouri, what's her name, McCaskill, she's going to have a hard time. Because she doesn't want to be painted as, a New World Order, working against the little guy type person. And there's plenty of other people that were in states that Trump won, and they have to try to run for re-election. And I hope they get the health care thing right. I mean, I hope they do. I really do.
What's your gut telling you on that? Because man, that's.
I hope they don't. If it's up to Paul Ryan, we're going to get screwed. I'm sorry. I mean, that's. I mean, we got all the regulations. He cut out the, you know, what was in there in the first bill or the rendition that more people would have voted for was you got to prove citizenship. Oh no, no, we can't do that. Open borders, Ryan. No, we can't. You know, you can't prove citizenship. Well, you're going to use took on 10, 12, 11, 13, 15 million people. We're going to share the world. You got to cut off the free stuff if you want these people to quit coming up here.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, I hope Trump's not stupid enough to sign that, because if premiums don't budge and don't go down, and we're still insuring illegal aliens, even though they're going to be some of them deported, it's kind of a drop in the bucket when you're talking about even 500,000 against the backdrop of what is it, 11, 12, 13 million, you know, illegal aliens.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's that going to do for people that. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I'm very concerned that this is going to go through, and if it does, it spells disaster. I mean, this is Obamacare 2.0 of Obamacare Lite, of course, but I don't know.
I mean, Trump's got a lot of problems. I mean, I'm afraid he's going to be successful. What I'm afraid of is the bond market shooting up, interest rates going up. There's no damn way that they're going to go down from here. I mean, they've been manipulating everything. I mean, that's gold, silver, you know, Forex. You know, they've pled guilty to everything under the sun of manipulating LIBOR, stock futures. You know, I mean, what did Richard Fisher, head of the Dallas Fed, say at the beginning of 2016? We injected the system. We front-loaded the system for a wealth effect, and we, quote, injected the system with cocaine and heroin.
Yeah.
How does that end when you're doing cocaine and heroin?
Not well, sir.
Well,
yeah.
So he's got a lot of problems. I mean, is he going to try to continue the cocaine and heroin? I think what he's doing with the illegal immigration is cost cutting. I think a lot of federal employees are going to lose their jobs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I think that's what a CEO does. And he comes in and says, "Oh my gosh, we're all bloated. What's the first thing I can do to get really good results fast? Oh, lay people off." That's what happened in 08 and 09. What happened to the unemployment rate? Skyrocketed. You know, businesses got into trouble, and they started laying people off. They started firing people.
I noticed how they're bringing out people now about the budget. You know, they're bringing out the Meals on Wheels. Oh my goodness, I didn't think they cut our programs, among others. But you
that's
know,
a
it just
state
seems...
deal. That's really not a federal deal.
Right.
That's more of a state deal.
But it's not being presented that way to the public. And the public is saying,
"Of course not, because media is a bunch of lion, rat, dog, you know, weasels that are basically are into complete and total propaganda." You want me to read you the definition of propaganda?
Sure.
Information, especially of a biased or misleading nature. Think that describes our mainstream media? Used to promote or publicize a particular political cause or point of view. That's propaganda. And back to Rockefeller, one of the other quotes, I just read you part of it. "We're grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. We've been lied to by these weasels." And they were clever about lying. And when Trump got in, you know, they believed their own lies. The polls were all wrong. They were wrong on purpose. And now they're freaking out, and they don't care whether their enterprise makes money or not. They don't care. No. You think Jeff Bezos cares if the Washington Post makes money? Do you think he cares?
I don't think so. No.
I don't think so either. I don't think Time Warner, of course, they're trying to sell, trying to merge with AT&T or have AT&T buy them out. I don't think they care. I don't think Comcast cares if MSNBC, that's been a dog of an operation making diddly squat for I don't know how long. But I don't think they care.
Yeah.
But CBS,
makes some good points here.
They're not making much money.
No. No.
ABC, they're all happy about, you know, a father and daughter, a daughter and a mother and daughter. I don't know what it is, transgender thing, that they're all happy, and we should all think this is normal stuff, which is crazy time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they've had a lot of counseling. Whoa, oh my gosh. Woo, this is normal. Really?
Punch the bull on that one. Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. I mean, this entire thing is ridiculous. If you don't mind, I can't get this. I mean, the news of the day, really, aside from the London terror attack, obviously, what a surprise that is. Okay, but put that aside for a moment. man, I just can't shake this surveillance because you were on top of this from day one. I mean, you had this covered seven ways to Sunday. Nunes coming out with a statement. I mean, Donald Trump has been vindicated as far as I'm concerned.
I'm pretty sure he has. And, you know, I was telling John, your producer or booker in the pre-interview,
right,
that this story, this is what happens when a good investigation, when you break something big, it's generally not a one and done. This is going to hatch babies. There are going to be people running for cover. You know, every time I see Clapper on the air, the last time I saw him on and Morrell also, you know, there's nothing here, and Clapper, oh, well, you know, there's nothing here. They took their shot. They took a wild-ass guess of, hey, maybe we can catch him doing something crazy, and then we can impeach him. And we got to do this early and often and now. We got to do this right now. That's what they were trying. That's what I think they were trying, because what I just tell you, I said the longer he stays in, the more powerful he gets.
Yep.
And that is scaring the hell out of them. And there's a source that I have, and I can't tell you who, and I can't tell you about it what it is, and I can't even tell you close, but there's going to be a big strike back. And you're not seeing Trump talking about that. He did say in his interview with, you know, what's his name, on Fox News, not Brett Baer, the guy took over for Megyn Kelly. I'll think of it. He did say, well, we're going to have something come out, you know, soon. We're going to have something come out next week. Well, what came out this week? That was last week. What came out this week? The stuff with, you know, the incidental collection. And he
right.
even explained. He said, well, you know, I say wiretap. Hey, that's an old-time term. You know, surveillance.
Right.
What happened? And they, you know, they want to call it incidental. Oh, just incidental. Oh, we just pick up this stuff on everybody, including the incoming president of the United States and his calls and everybody else. That's incidental? That sounds pretty directed to me. Oh, we're doing investigations on all the Russian stuff. Really? And I'll tell you another thing. I think this is, listen, the Russians aren't our buddies. And you know, they're not our friends, and I'm not a guy that hail Putin. I mean, oh great, USA. I tell this to people all the time. Listen, USA Watchdog could never exist. A Russia Watchdog. You know, where I talked crap about Putin and some of the crap he did and his cronies. That could never exist inside the borders of Russia.
That's right.
Never. Could not happen.
I don't think you've been very fair. I mean, you've been very factual with your reporting on this. I don't think anyone can
accuse. If I thought Trump was conspiring with the Russians, if I thought there was a shred of evidence, oh my gosh, I'd be demanding he be, you know, removed from office. I mean, you know, treason is a terrible thing, but that is not the case. And if you just look at Comey and make just some broad, reasonable, that's what they say in court all the time. What would a reasonable person say? You got an 8-month investigation that started with a bogus report from the MI6 former agent about him peeing on beds and about, Michael Cohen, which is the wrong Michael Cohen, you know, working with the Russians in, I don't know, Romania or somewhere, and all of it's false, 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 false. All the news organizations know it's all false. Nobody touches it except for BuzzFeed, and they publish it with, we can't tell if any of this is true, because it's not. And this is what starts your investigation. You've been doing this for how long? For 8 months? And what do you, and do you still say you've got an investigation? And you're not investigating Hillary Clinton and the charity fraud that's closing down now? I mean, charity fraud is an easy one. This isn't like pay to play. This is like you had a charity, you collected billions of dollars. Where's the money? You're shutting it down. Where's the money? You can't do that. You can't just shut a charity down and keep the money and say, thanks, suckers, and leave. You can't do that. That's a global fraud, at the very least.
Well, it's my understanding that
they've been on this thing with Trump for 8 months, and a reasonable person would say, well, what gives? What do you got? A lot of leaked information. And, you know, there's a thing, and Trey Gowdy brought this up. You know, when you're in court, and Comey's a lawyer, and he's under oath. And when you're in court and people ask you something, you can't just give the technical, correct answer. You have to give all the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the whole truth. And Comey, there's no Obama wiretap. Well, then, you know, you want to parse words with a wiretap and a FISA warrant, and yet you have incidental collection of everybody in the transition team, including the incoming president-elect himself?
Yeah.
He was not forthcoming.
Oh.
Richard Burr and Mark Warner put out a statement that is a that at the very least makes them look buffoonish. They look stupid.
What was that statement? I didn't see that.
That was a statement of Burr and Warner, based on the intelligence available to us. This is the quote. Quote, based on the information available to us. This is a joint statement by Burr and Warner. North Carolina, Burr, Warner, Virginia.
Right.
Based on the information available to us, we see no indications that Trump Tower was subject of surveillance by any element of the U.S. government either before or after Election Day. That is a big fatty.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I just didn't know who...
That's a lie.
Yeah,
or
I remember that. Okay.
They're stupid.
Right.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
They're both absolutely moronic, and they don't know what's going on, and they're on a top... They're the head of a Senate Intelligence Committee.
Right. Right.
So they don't know anything? Really? Really.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So take your pick. That's a lie, or there's just... They're moronic. They're lazy. They're stupid. They're clueless. That's the only two options. That's the only two options.
Who's behind
they
this?
Say any surveillance by any element. Well, if everybody working out of the Trump Tower is being recorded and surveilled and incidental surveillance, then that's not a correct statement, is it?
Not even close.
This is the undermining of a president. I had Scott Uhlinger on. I don't know if you've ever had him on.
He calls me up and says,
I got something to say. Did you have him on?
No, we know who he is.
He's a former CIA, Eastern Europe intelligence chief, station chief. Mm-hmm. And he comes on and says, you know, you can see if the interview was one of my worst audio-wise interviews, but great content. He said, Obama can call this what he wants. You know, he calls it the Organization for Action, the OFA. He said, he can call it what he wants, but, you know, this is, shadow government that is designed to embarrass and undermine the incoming president. That's what it is. And I want people to understand the overarching thing. I mean, we have Deepak Chopra got in on the action today. You know, the guru, man of enlightenment. You know, he says, when people show you who they are, you should believe them. Well, Deepak, you showed me you're a little biased weasel that doesn't know what he's talking about. Because he asked for the president to submit to a psychiatric evaluation after him saying that he was surveilled. Well, Deepak, you're stupid. And you've showed me who you are. You're a little biased weasel that doesn't know what he's talking about, that's trying to discredit the president. And the same thing with the NBC Enterprise Saturday Night Live. Anything they can do to discredit the president, we're going to call it humor. Same thing with Colbert. Anything he can do, and he's got the approval of the top brass, to do anything and everything they can to tarnish Donald Trump in the Trump administration.
Yep.
This is the people that are the big media owners, giants, and since they couldn't do it by their quote-unquote legitimate press, which is a propaganda machine, because that's clearly propaganda, right? Right?
Yeah, by definition. Absolutely.
If the textbook information, especially of a biased, misleading nature, their polls, misleading, biased, they conspired. WikiLeaks showed that the press, New York Times, NBC, Politico, you name it, CNN, they conspired with the Hillary camp, right?
Yep.
Used to promote or publicize particular political cause or point of view. Propaganda. Textbook.
Yep.
So,
but at the epicenter, was it Obama at the epicenter of this back in the summer, or was it Hillary?
What did Pelosi just say? What did Nancy Pelosi just say? She said
she told Trump to apologize and
No. Well, yeah. But forget that. She said Obama and Hillary are the leaders of the Democratic Party.
Oh, okay.
She just said it.
Yeah.
That's not me saying it. That's her.
Yeah.
And, you know, Obama, with his Organization for Action, who has, what, 30,000 people to go and protest, and, you know, his Organization for Action, he's not putting tennis shoes on poor kids or buying meals for kids that don't have anything to eat. You know, the action he has is sedition. Funded by, of course, he's got a 501c4, which means you can't find out where the funding came from. But many people say it's George Soros. That the reporting is George Soros is funding this. He should join David Rockefeller. So, you know, that's the overarching story is the undermining of a president that is against the New World Order, that's for America first, that's going to build a 30-foot wall, that's not down with the illegal immigration. That's what we're talking about. That's the big story that nobody wants to talk about. And the press, not all, but most members of Fox News, all the members of MSNBC, almost all, CBS Morning, that's a bunch of lefty wackadoodles. They're not fair. Listen, I don't mind somebody criticizing Trump. As a matter of fact, if he signs this legislation where illegals, get health care and now we pay our penalties directly to the insurance companies and we still have all these regulations for Obamacare, I'm going to be pissed.
You and me both, brother.
That's a legitimate criticism. And if you have a legitimate criticism for the press, have at it. Legitimate. Don't be mean-spirited. I'll tell you something else. When I learned all this stuff, you know, through my years, I had worked for 5 TV stations, 3 of which I was an investigative reporter at 2 networks. And at the networks, let me tell you something. At the networks, when you did an investigation on somebody, the lawyers would act as plaintiff's attorneys. They weren't there. Oh, yeah, yeah, this is great. No. That was some of the toughest. Unless you were sued, that's the toughest cross-examination you got. And, I mean, when we did a story, we interviewed somebody, we transcribed the whole thing. We had a company do that, a word-for-word verbatim transcription. And then when we turned our scripts in, we gave, here's interview A with John Smith, and here's interview B with Emily Duncan, and here's interview C with so-and-so official. And here, we had to have all that stuff transcribed. And here's our center of our investigation, Reverend, we cheated them, or whatever.
Yep.
And we had to make the best case for people. We couldn't just make a BS case and go pick the nastiest thing that we could pick for somebody. And this actually happened. This was a preacher. He was involved in a fraud. I love fraud stories because it was numbers and money, and the numbers didn't lie, and they weren't Democrat or Republican. And the outrage for somebody being ripped off was universal. Nobody cares if you're a Republican or a Democrat. They don't care. And I'm not neither. I'm neither a Republican or a Democrat. But we actually had a preacher who was at ABC News. And we had, our lawyers, all the lawyers went to Yale or Harvard or, you know, some Princeton. I mean, they're all Ivy League, you know, top dollar, top notch, you know, people with the best schools. And so we send the script over for, let's call it Pasture, I Cheated Him, okay? And Pasture, I Cheated Him in the interview, in the first few minutes of the interview, says, yes, I cheated him. Yes, I did that. Boom, got him. That's the bite we used. Later in the interview, in about a 15-minute interview, he decided to sit down with us. He said, well, I cheated him, but I didn't mean to. That was just total bullshit. Guess what soundbite the lawyers made us use? That's right. I cheated him, and I didn't mean to. And we're like, what the what? And the lawyer said, you got to make your best case for them. You can't make your worst case for them. He sat down with you. You got to make your best case for them.
Wow.
And that's what you do when you do an investigation. Listen, if they're dirty, you're not going to get them. You're just going to put it on the air. And if you really have a case, you don't have to try to get somebody. If Trump really was that bad, you don't have to try to get him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Good point. Yeah.
You don't have to try to get him. The facts will do whatever they are, and people will judge for themselves whether he did the right thing. And the facts are not on the Democrats and the mainstream media side here. That's what I'm telling you. But they are out to get him. And Trump is making them look like fools. I mean, front page stories, no Obama wiretap, this is 321, the weekend edition, you know, wiretap claim debunked. Well, no, not so much. Oops. Now, they're not going to spin that way, that, everybody in the transition team was being surveilled. Oh, my gosh. I mean, if I was doing day-to-day news, if I was at one of the network shows, they got rid of me because I was doing depleted uranium and, hey, the whole economy is going to blow up and, you know, whatever. But I would be going to Richard Burr, hey, you said there's no information. How can you be that wrong? Are you covering up for the spy agencies? How could you be this wrong? That's what I would ask them. That's what I would ask them. How can you be that wrong? You make public statements saying there was no evidence of surveillance. You put it in writing. This is your words in writing. I didn't misquote you. This is your words.
But no one's asking these questions. At least not
because they don't hire people like me.
Yeah.
They don't want people like me to figure it out. Oh, my God, no! I mean, I sat on the air and said Bush was a liar when it came to subprime housing. Oh, it's going to be contained. I said he's a liar. I was on CNN. I said he's a liar. I shouldn't have said that, but he was. He was lying. That it's not going to be contained. I said the whole stock market was going to blow up. And I said we're in a recession. Well, we were in a recession. He was lying. And what happened to the stock market? 666.
Yeah.
And that's coming again, incidentally.
I caught one of your recent. I heard that you were. I don't recall who you're speaking to, but yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
But David Stockman, I had him on. He got, took 200,000 or 300,000 views on this. I mean, and the math on this, people will, you know, you're just being, you know, doomer, gloomer. You know, we're muddling along. What they've done to muddle this along is absolutely criminal. What they have done, because a lot of people missed that we should have had a crash already, and we didn't. And we didn't because of all the unbelievable, crazy money printing, fraud, manipulation. I mean, Deutsche Bank admitted to manipulating the price of gold and silver.
Yes.
Admitted to it, paid fines for it. And admitted that other primary dealers of treasuries, only, 21 or 22 primary dealers in the world, of Scotia Bank and I think it's Bank of Nova Scotia and HSBC, I'm pretty sure that they fingered them for helping them. And, of course, if they were involved, you know, Goldman and I think J.P. Morgan, had to be everybody in the who were selling the primary dealers of treasuries. I mean, that's a right. License to print money until your credit rating falls to crap. But I digress. What they did to stretch this out is unparalleled in human history. When Bush left office, he had about a $9 trillion, $10 trillion, let's work round numbers. He had about a $10 trillion budget deficit. When Obama left office, he had a $20 trillion. He's unbelievable. And, of course, he had help with Boehner and the Democrat House of Representatives the Democrat Senate and the Republican Senate.
Yep.
I mean, Boehner cut this deal with Obama to, you know, let the debt ceiling go all the way to, March 15th of 2017. That just passed. Nobody said a lot about that. But, woo, boy, why do you think Trump is cut? Because he wants to extend bouncing off that debt ceiling. That's what he's doing.
I was going to ask you about the debt ceiling, yeah. Yeah.
When Trump says that I inherited a mess, that's what he's talking about. I mean, David Stockman was on, and he said, you know, he was in the Reagan administration, the very first Reagan administration. He said, you know, when Carter left office, I think the numbers are, this is close, about $900 billion. We had less than $1 trillion national debt when Carter left office, when Reagan took over. When Reagan left office, we had a $2.8 trillion national debt. I mean, he tripled it, basically.
Yep.
Well, what's going to happen to Trump? You think he can take it to $40 trillion? You think he can tack on another $5 trillion? When do the people in the bond market, and people don't realize this, forget the stock market, don't look at the stock market, look at the bond market. The bond market is orders of magnitude bigger than the stock market. And yes, I know the 10-year Treasury is it was at 2.6, then it got down to 2.4. It's around 2.4 for 10-year money. But that, you know, David Stockman says he's not going to be able to expand the debt. He's not going to be able to, they're not going to be able to expand the Fed balance sheet. They went from, I don't know, $800 billion to $4.5 trillion. And, you know, they're just, you know, how much more are they going to be allowed? The world has to allow us to expand this. They have to say, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll take your dollars. Yeah, no problem. I know you have nukes and everything's fine. And, yeah, we'll let you expand your dollars around the world. You can keep sending your dollars out here to buy oil and tennis shoes and Sonys and BMWs. And, yeah, we'll take your dollars. Hey, whoa. I mean, when this thing stops, it's going to stop hard and it's going to stop fast. It's going to, woof.
But didn't
what,
Trump,
what point does that happen? What point do people in the bond market that say, that bought 10-year treasuries that, you know, a year and a half ago and 2 years ago, you know, a two and as it went down and 1.9 and 1.8 and 1.7 and 1.6 and 1.5 and 1.4 and 1.5 and 1.6 and 1.7 and 1.4. Who, all that debt, that's a $2-3 trillion. When do people say, whoa, it's 2.5, 3%, I'm selling. Sell.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Are they going to have to buy all that debt? Is Donald Trump going to is he going to call over to Steve Mnuchin and say stop redeeming bonds, make them hold them to maturity? I don't know. Is he going to reorganize the debt? I mean, he did that. People shouldn't realize this. He did that in the eighties. Just a brief history. I was watching this show on Donald Trump, and it just hit me. Oh my gosh! I know what he's going to do. In the '80s, forget about his book, The Art of the Deal. What did he do in the 80s? Oh, man, he was dating the hottest chicks. He was making the Forbes 400. He was kicking it, baby. He was killing it. He was killing it dead. And then the 90s came, and I think in 91 they raised the Fed funds rate 1% overnight. And he was zigging when the market was zagging. And he was going to go bankrupt. But he had all these banks. But by then, I mean, he was on the Today Show. He was quoted in every newspaper. He was the man. He was young and handsome and dated the nicest looking women. His wives are gorgeous. And I'm not criticizing Trump either. I'm just telling you about what happened. Mm-hmm. And so by the time he gets to his trouble where he is in deep financial trouble, he makes a deal with the banks. Now, I don't know what he said in there in those meetings, but I suspect it was something like, listen, you guys, you can take me to Chapter 7, okay? You can liquidate me. You can force me into liquidation. But you're going to get diddly squat on the dollar. And let me tell you where you're really going to take a beating. I'm a brand, and you got in bed with me. And you're going to let me go under? Your stock, Citibank, Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Goldman, your stock is going to crater. You're going to get killed. You guys are going to look like buffoons. And they went, blook. All right, what are the terms you need? Here's what I need. Now, expand that to what we have going on now. Think he might try that again? Oh, and incidentally, back then he didn't have nuclear weapons, and he does now. You think he might try that again?
Wow, good point.
You think he might try that again? I know things will be, well, do you think we're ever going to pay back this $20 trillion?
No.
And then you think, and look at how his whole business model changed. His whole bit. Remember, he said, "Hey, I got $10 billion, you know, net worth. I got $11 billion net worth, right? Let's just say $11 billion, okay?
Right. Yep.
Nobody's really disputed that. Let's say it's $11 billion with all of his real estate. So he said, I have very little debt. And then this story comes out and it says, Donald Trump owes $680 million. He owes $680 million. That's unbelievable. Whoa, let's bring this down to little people money now. So I got a $110,000 house, and I owe $6,800 on it. Do I look like I'm teetering on insolvency? I owe $6,800 on a $110,000 house. Am I getting ready to go bankrupt?
Great analogy.
Am I reckless with debt?
No.
Great analogy. That's Donald Trump. So,
and that,
you see all,
friend,
the, all the cuts he's going to make. He's going to make deep cuts. And he's going to, they're going to try to blame him on this. I don't know if it's going to stick to him. I don't know if they're going to be able to say, everything's your fault. I don't think they're going to try, but I don't think they're going to be able to do that. I just don't think they're going to be able to do that. But there's going to be nasty cuts. I had Doug Casey on, and he said we should default on the debt because it's immoral to saddle all these kids with this. Well, what they're going to do is they're going to print tons of money. They're going to print money for a while. And I think they're going to have inflation and deflation at the same time. They're going to have to default, and they're going to have to print money. They have to pick winners. This is going to be the wildest time in the history of money, in the history of the world. This is going to be the wildest time ever. This is biblical. This is unparalleled. There's never been this much debt ever, never, ever in the world, ever. And they recorded since after the flood of Noah. I don't know what happened before that. I mean, I don't know if we have space aliens or you have another continent or Antarctica or whatever. But in this world, in our history, this has never been this way. We had 170, 160, 170 trillion global debt in 2008, and then now we have 200 and roughly 30 trillion. Depends on who you want to talk to. 199, 110, 210, 230. I'm 230 trillion, counting everything. A debt. We expanded the debt $60-70 trillion. Did we make that better?
Greg, I'm gonna.
Oh yeah! Wow. Great points, all. Go ahead.
We're running out of time.
We've got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm just talking.
I love it, brother.
So, fire away. What do you?
We got. You know what? We're at the end of the segment. We got 30 seconds left. USAWatchdog.com. That's where people can go to find you, right? USAWatchdog.com. How else can we help you, brother? How else can we help you?
That's it. You just had me on. I just enjoyed talking with you. I hope I didn't bore you.
Oh, man. Our inbox is blowing up. And I got to tell you, people love you. They love your frankness. And God bless you, man.
Listen, I know this has been going on. I know this has been going on for a while. I know people are talking about doom and gloom. But the math says this is when this blows, you better be ready. You better be ready. You better have your house title. You better have your car title. You better have some food. You better have some PB. That's lead in the periodic table. You better have everything. You better be like Bruce Lee. You know, Bruce Lee said it best when you have to train every part of your body because you never know what you're going to need in a fight. And
absolutely,
that's what
right.
People ought to take away from this.
Greg, we got to cut you loose. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on. Hope I didn't bore you.
Absolutely. Not at all. Folks, we'll be right back with Pastor David Langford after this. Stay with us.
It's the future. In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God particle before CERN actually discovered the God particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.